This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip, servitude, ubudiyyah, is necessary for worship, ibadah, to be considered real worship of Allah. Now, dear listeners, talking about ubudiyyah and servitude being necessary for our worship, the oneness of the apparent and the hidden is a concept which should be understood. Now, under certain circumstances or in the presence of certain people, a person may do certain things that are contrary to their inner and personal state. This is also called ostentation. This is a type of riya, ostentation, which is where under certain situations or because certain people are around you, you try to cater your actions towards that specific person. So let's say you are reading your prayers, the five daily prayers, the salah, and all of a sudden you feel like somebody has walked in the room. And then you start to read your prayers in a very beautiful voice, in a very, I don't know, spiritual manner. Well, here you should know that this is riya, because you are doing this for that person who has come into the room, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is interesting, but on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and ask your reward from that person whom you did your actions for. May Allah save us from that day, dear friends.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of the program, Foresight. My name is Muhammad, and today I'd like to read to you the English translation of an excerpt from Munajatul Raghibin, The Beseechers. My God, I seek intercession from you with you, and I seek sanctuary in you from you. I have come to you craving your beneficence, desiring your kindness, seeking water from the deluge of your graciousness, begging rain from the clouds of your bounty, requesting your good pleasure, going straight to your side, arriving at the watering place of your support, seeking exalted good things from your quarter, reaching for the presence of your beauty, wanting your face, knocking at your door, abasing myself before your mightiness and majesty. So act toward me with the forgiveness and mercy of which you are worthy. Act not toward me with the chastisement and vengeance of which I am worthy. By your mercy, O most merciful of the merciful.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. Now, talking about sincerity, we find that the pursuit of important works undone is a sign of sincerity. Meaning when we see that there is something that is undone, that hasn't been done, and furthermore, we find that it is something that needs to be done, something that must be done, and it must be done for the sake of Allah, and we go ahead and we pursue and try to commit and do that action, then this shows our sincerity. Now, dear brothers and sisters, if there is sincerity and dedication in our works, in our actions, a person will automatically, by default, look for necessary and undone, unfinished, uncompleted, unstarted works and actions whose absence is felt in our lives and in society. Furthermore, these are actions that nobody has done yet, or perhaps they have started but have not finished, and they do not entail fame or money. This is the caveat. These are works that need to be done, they must be done, but they don't have money or fame or title or position or status or popularity involved with them. And they are not regarded as important by the majority of the people who don't know any better. For example, glass and cabinets and curtains are as important for a building as they are for a bathroom and a toilet. In the table spread, food, meat, and vegetables and others are needed, and so is salt. Sincere persons have no inhibition in doing undone works, whether they are small or great, known or unknown, profitable or unprofitable, and sincere people believe that sometimes God blesses and gives great impact to sincerely performed small good deeds. Meaning we should all know that Allah blesses and gives great impact to even what we would consider small deeds or deeds that have no value. He will make them great if they are performed with sincerity. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
Inshallah, before we die, if we evolve from this caterpillar state to this butterfly state, to this fitra-oriented individuals, then the change is so radical, even though outwardly we may appear to be the same, but the change is so radical that it would be like looking at two different species and not believing that these two species were once one in the same. Which is why we're giving that example of the caterpillar and the butterfly. And if we can learn to distinguish between these two, then suddenly the path towards Allah becomes clear. Tabi'a is only for the body, but my real self, which is my soul, is driven by fitra, then my focus changes. I am now more concerned about awakening my fitra as opposed to giving in to my tabi'a. I begin to realize I am not the physical entity. I am not the physical body that I look at in the mirror every morning. When I disidentify from the body, then excessive obsession with materialism begins to sound absurd. I no longer find any meaning in giving so much importance to the material world. When we die, a lot of things change. We struggle in this world to shatter this ego. But if we don't, when we die, it still shatters because it is associated with the brain and the brain does not survive after death. So when we give excessive importance to the body and to the material world, then when we wake up in the next world with our souls, without this body, we wake up to something that is very startling and shocking. We come to realize that we had our priorities wrong. We begin to see that when I came to this world, I was like a caterpillar. I was in a worm-like state. My purpose in this world was to evolve for a spiritual metamorphosis to take place, so that I emerge into this beautiful creature, into this spiritual butterfly, so to speak. But because I was completely identified with the body, and because I forgot I had a soul, and that this soul is driven by its own divine nature called fitra, that was sleeping and potential that I did not unleash and awaken, therefore I have remained a worm or a caterpillar and not become that butterfly. Perhaps this is one of the meanings that Amirul Mu'mineen, when he said, "Annasu niyamun idha matu intabahu," the people of this world are asleep. When they die, they wake up. In other words, he is saying we are in a slumber. Most of the human beings you will encounter are asleep. You might find them alive. They appear to be alive, but they have stopped questioning what life is all about. They get up in the morning, they go through the cycle of life, their day ends, the next day is the same, the third day is the same, days become weeks, weeks become months, months become years, they grow old, they die. Then they wake up. Our challenge here is to wake up before death, which is another hadith as well from the Messenger of Allah, peace be on him and his family. He said, "Mutu qabla an tamutu." Die before you die. The second die is not in your hands. The first die is in your hands. That is why he tells you to do so. Die before you die. Meaning die to your egoic self and wake up. Become born again. Let your qiyamah happen while you are in this physical world. In another hadith from the Messenger of Allah, peace be on him and his family, he said, if you wish to see a dead man walking on this earth, a man whose resurrection has happened already, then look at Ali ibn Abi Talib. Meaning he has crossed and traversed the boundaries of death. For him, there is no surprise after death. لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَى لَمَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. If veils were removed and the hereafter became apparent, it will not increase my certainty or my yaqeen. It will not increase my certainty or my yaqeen.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. It is a blessing to have you with us. Now, in continuation to what we were saying earlier, when Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, one of the great religious scholars, philosophers, faqis, theologians of our age, when he arrived in Qom from the Islamic seminary, the Hawza Ilmiya, in the city of Najaf in Iraq, he observed that in Qom there were a lot of classes on jurisprudence, on fiqh, and on the principles of jurisprudence, also known as usul al-fiqh, but there was no mention of any lessons in exegesis, in the tafsir of the Qur'an, or on philosophy. Therefore, we find that Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, he realized that there was something that was undone, yet it was something that needed to be done. Therefore, he started teaching these two branches of knowledge. And although out of good intention, some individuals protested these teachings of Ayatollah Tabatabai, they say that doing so was incompatible with the prestige of a future religious authority. Yet, Allama Tabatabai continued teaching tafsir and philosophy, and he considered them expedient and necessary for the Islamic seminary. And so, despite the fact that people told him not to do this, and despite the fact that perhaps there wasn't any prestige or fame in this subjects of philosophy and tafsir, he continued to teach them until he wrote the monumental work of our time, Al-Mizan fi Tafsir al-Qur'an. And so yes, dear friends, divine grace depends on the sincerity of individuals and not on the title of the position that they occupy. And thus, sincerity in our actions, this is how it is created, by making sure we do what we do for the sake of Allah and not for anything other than Allah.
إلهنا ما عاد لك مليك كل من ملك لبيك قد لبيت لك لبيك إن الحمد لك وللملك يا مولاي.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
الحمد لك والعز لك.